The text for our reflection and meditation this morning comes from the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter and selected verses from that chapter. These are, or should be, familiar words to you. You've probably heard them across the years at various points. But try to hear them again, within the light of your faith journey, your understanding of your faith tradition. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. And all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the house where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day shall be cut off from Israel. And when your children ask you, 'What do you mean by this observance?' you shall say, 'It is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord. For he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptians, but spared our houses.' And then the Israelites went and did just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron." Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right, this didn't seem to have the impact I thought it would at the early service when I said that one of the things that makes a driver of a car most enthusiastic is the idea or the feeling of making good time. You know, they just like glossed over when I said that, so I'm not going to go there right now. The point of it is that we are 4 weeks in to a sermon series, and we're making good time. We're making good time. You may say, how can that be? 4 weeks and only on the second book of the Bible. And we're supposed to go through the whole Bible. How long is this series going to take? But anyway, just calm down. Calm down. We're making good time. All right. Today is Children's Sabbath Sunday. And today we celebrate the critical and central role of children in the life of this community and also in the life of the world. So what better way to celebrate this day than by remembering the story? The story that has shaped generation after generation of youth. Exodus chapter 12, verse 26 reads, "And when your children ask you, 'What do you mean by this observance?' you shall say." In other words, when you gather as a people and your children ask you why you gather, you tell them the community story. When our children ask why, really, they're not really so much asking why as they're asking really who. A question of identity. They're asking, who are we? Who am I? Well, last Sunday we looked at the call of Abraham, Genesis chapter 12. And let me just read the first part of that. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so you will be a blessing.'" Well, today we continue that narrative as the implications of that call And the promise that flowed from it brings hope to those who claim the story as their own. Okay, Book of Exodus. The Book of Exodus is named named for one of two main events in the book, mainly the liberation and the exodus of the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. Now remember, at the close of Genesis, which was last week, Joseph has brought his brothers, his father, everybody to Egypt, and everything is just wonderful. They're in this land that's flowing with milk and honey. And then we get to Exodus 1, verse 8. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. And that's when the music starts. That's when the creepy music starts. And as this text suggests, is that it's not long after they get to Egypt, the bottom falls out of everything. And hope is in short supply. They're in an inhospitable land. They're oppressed. They're seeking deliverance. Well, the author of this tradition, the author of Exodus, is counting on you understanding that, having experienced that feeling of hopelessness, that feeling that you need help, help that's got to come from outside. There, at a friend's funeral a number of years ago, they had a time of remembrance, and people would stand and say, I remember so-and-so, and we did this, they told me this, they taught me this. And one of our friends stood up and said, there's one thing that she taught me that everyone needs to know and never, ever forget. And that person said, there are two things in life. One is there is a God and you're not it. I have thought about that over and over. I still don't quite understand it. But yes, the author of Exodus is hoping you understand that, or at least are begin to ponder it, that there's more than you. Okay. All right. As was the case with Genesis, and will be the case for every book here on out, is how do we get a hold on the book? How do we get a hold on this on a book in just a very short time together? How can we do it justice, you know? Well, 40 chapters we've got. So let's think about this for a minute. Exodus. What is in the book of Exodus that would help us, that could guide us, that would be central, that would epitomize the book? When you think of Exodus, what do you think? The first thing you think about? That's what I was afraid of. That's right. Charlton Heston was the correct answer. Okay, at the middle service, everybody was too young. They looked around like, what is he talking about? Charlton Heston, a.k.a. Moses. Okay, very good, very good. Who else? Another character. Yul Brynner, that is correct. Yul Brynner, a.k.a. Ramesses II, Pharaoh. Okay, I heard somebody say Aaron, that's true. I heard somebody say Joshua earlier, that's true. Two other main characters. One is a collective. The people, the Israelites. Other character, biggest character in the book? Thank you. God. All right. As a kid, I loved that movie. What was the title of that movie? You know the Bible? See, you know it. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Okay, back to the movie. When I was a kid, they played the movie once a year. You didn't have VCRs. I know that's weird to think about. You didn't have a VCR. You probably don't know what that is either. You had no way of recording. You couldn't see it again, okay? You could see it one time every year, and that was it, okay? When did they show it? Oh, yeah, show off. That's right. That's right. You were supposed to say Easter, but instead smart person said Passover. That's where I was going. It always showed Easter. Everybody go, why is this not about Easter? Because it's about Passover. Passover. Okay, so let's think about this. We're talking about the book of Exodus. We need to talk about Moses. We need to talk about Ramesses. We need to talk about the Israelites. We need to talk about God. We need to talk about Passover. But what else is in there?
Miracles.
The plagues. That might be a place we can get a foothold there. How about, you remember the very beginning of the story when the Pharaoh is trying to destroy the Hebrew baby boys? You remember that part? And I'm thinking that, oh, that rings some bells. The destruction of the infants, a flight to Egypt. And I'm thinking, I think I've heard that maybe at Christmas time. But anyway, we'll come to that later, of course. Okay. How about, you remember when little baby Moses was put in a set on the Nile? Who finds him? Pharaoh's daughter. That is correct. Maybe that's where we should get a hold on this story. Or then we could talk about the Passover itself. Maybe so. How about the manna from heaven? You remember that story? Okay, good, good. The Ten Commandments, that's in Exodus. The other laws, Exodus. How about the Ark of the Covenant before it was lost? Okay, never mind. All right. The tabernacle, the priestly vestments, the how you ordain priests, all that kind of stuff is in the shiny thing. The golden calf, you remember that in the movie? Okay, just forget. Okay, where do we begin to get a hold on this book? Well, I wrestled with it like Jacob wrestled in Genesis. And then it came to me. Where we need to begin is where we always need to begin in our tradition. At the table. At the table. Eating. It should sound familiar to you. Do you remember the Last Supper of Jesus? You remember? I mean, not you remember it, but you've heard about it, right? The Last Supper of Jesus was what kind of meal? Passover meal. Interesting. Passover meal. Okay, Exodus 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. And when your children ask you, 'What do you mean by this?' you shall say, 'It is the Passover sacrifice.'" Now, it is the consensus of biblical scholars the book of Exodus reached its final form sometime after the exile of the Israelites in Babylon in the 6th century B.C. Now, the Exodus occurs in the 13th century B.C., so it's quite a traditioning process. Anyway, recap. Early 6th century B.C., the Babylonians were the big kids on the ancient Near Eastern bloc. And one day they came to town. They came to Jerusalem in full force, and the world came tumbling down. They not only did destroy most of the city, they destroyed God's house, the temple, where God lived. Very traumatic. And anybody they didn't kill, for the most part, they took them away to a hostile land where they were oppressed. It would prove to be a defining moment for the people of God. And it would force them to rethink everything, to re-envision their lives and their faith. And this re-envisioning was ultimately captured in the pages of what ultimately became the Torah. Genesis. Exodus. Leviticus. Deuteronomy. Very, very good. They had the stories. They were ancient stories by that point. They've been told and retold across the generations, but in the wake of the exile, the stories took on even greater significance. What does it mean to be in a foreign land and oppressed? Okay. The ancient story of the Exodus was the paradigmatic story for which they had been looking. It was a story through which they might interpret their current context. And maybe future generations could do the same. The storyline was this. The people of God are oppressed. They need a deliverer. God raises up for them a deliverer, and salvation is at hand. Whether it was the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Greeks, the Persians, the Persians and the Greeks, the Romans. The retelling of the story of Exodus gave them hope. And it gave them meaning and an order for their lives. And when your children ask you, "What does this mean?" you shall say, "It is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, for he passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt when he struck down the Egyptian, but spared our houses." It's called ritual remembering. Have you ever tailgated? I don't mean driving. I know you tailgate. I've seen you drive. I'm talking about tailgating at ball games. Danny? Anybody? Okay. All right. If you are a professional tailgater, you know how this works. There's a science to it. There are specific foods that you bring. There are specific libations that you bring. There's a covering of some sort, like a tent with a logo of some sort on it. There are folding chairs or bag chairs. There's a radio. Now, see, nobody got this. There's a radio, AM, that you tune to. The game. You put the game on. Okay, anyway. There's a football or frisbee or other flying object in the air. There's a grill and there's a cooler. Maybe there are flags that are kind of marking things off. And it's really not so much what you bring, but you bring this in every week. You do it every time. The same sort of thing. You do it. Everyone's a checklist. Where's the kit? Where's this? Okay. But it goes deeper than that. As you gather around the proverbial tailgate, you find yourself telling the stories. You know, stories that shape your communal life and give that gathering meaning. How about that Clemson game in 76? Do you remember that? Oh, yeah, I remember. What about that state game in 92 and that call? How could they miss that call? Or how about the Rose Bowl 1945? Please stand. We crushed Alabama. Okay. Anyway, as you tell the story, it shapes who you are. And whether you're at the Clemson game in 76 or not, that doesn't matter. That's your game. Those are your people. That's you. Family reunions are the same thing. You know, everybody brings the same food. Aunt so-and-so brings this and this, blah, blah, blah. And then you sit and you tell the stories. The ritual setting and the paradigmatic story that is recounted at such gatherings changes us. It defines us. And it helps us to get a grip on our world. When the former exiles felt that their world had come apart at its seams, they gathered around a table and they said, "When our forebears were slaves in Egypt," and they told the story and it engendered hope. When the earlier followers of Jesus gathered to make sense out of their lives following the events of Good Friday and Easter Sunday, they turned to the same story. If you want to understand our tradition, you need to understand the Exodus tradition. It's an interpretive lens through which we find our own faith. Ritual remembering. You know what I'm talking about? Then he took a cup. This is my blood poured out. He took bread, blessed it, and broke it. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Ritual remembering. That's what we do when we gather here, folks. That's what we do when we have small groups. That's what we do when we nail nails or boards or whatever we do for Habitat. We drive for Family Promise. We celebrate Children's Sabbath Sunday. We retell the story. And as we reinterpret it for our current situation, it interprets us. It reinterprets us and reconstitutes this community and offers hope to our lives. The bottom line is the book of Exodus is about remembering. It's about community. It's about hope. If the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, you shall offer a male without blemish. You shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting for acceptance in your behalf before the Lord. You shall lay your hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be acceptable in your behalf as an atonement for you. But that's Leviticus, and that's next week. We'll see you then. Thanks be to God. Amen.